Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
Not really, no. We're just working together to see what's going to happen. I'm not sure what Gordon's decisions will be come free agency. And so we're anxiously awaiting that, but it really didn't have any bearing on anything that happened today.
All right, that's Danny Ainge. After the draft the other night, how that would impact Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, now a member of the Charlotte Hornets, by the way. This hour brought to you by Eagle Bank. Brian Barrett with you up until 7 o'clock. My buddy Sean Salisbury from 790 in Houston will join us at 6 o'clock to preview the Patriots and the Houston Texans, which gets underway tomorrow. Ordinarily on a Saturday afternoon, we'd be talking a whole lot of Patriots, but right now the main storyline in the city is Gordon Hayward now joining the Charlotte Hornets, and it appeared the Celtics were in prime position to pick up a nice big man in Miles Turner, which they desperately needed, and Danny Ainge was pushing for more in the deal, and they don't end up with Miles Turner. And right now you look at the Celtics team, where are they in the Eastern Conference hierarchy? The Nets are better than you. The Bucks are definitely better than you. We all know that the Heat, they beat you last year. So the Celtics have fallen back in terms of where they rank in the Eastern Conference. All these other teams, it appears they're getting better, and the Celtics are getting worse. Yeah, okay, Bogdanovic didn't end up going to Milwaukee, but they did get a premier defender in Drew Holiday to join Giannis Antetokounmpo. Look at a team like the Miami Heat. They have added a guy like Avery Bradley. They already have a great defensive team. They added Avery Bradley. Kemba Walker couldn't go by anybody in the postseason last year. How the hell is he going to get by Avery Bradley? Oh, yeah, well, Brian, Kemba's knee, that was the issue last year. You think that knee's getting better? Four different times last year, he had to miss time because he was bothered by his knee. It's not a new issue for Kemba Walker. He had three procedures on his knee before he joined the Boston Celtics. That knee is a ticking time bomb. This is going to continue to be a process going forward with Kemba Walker, where they need to manage his minutes. Not to mention, we saw he wasn't the same player in the postseason. Did not play well in the postseason whatsoever. Now you get Avery Bradley and Drew Holiday they can put on Kemba Walker. Heck, they may not even need to, because they may say, Drew Holiday, let's put him on Jaylen. Let's put him on Jason Tatum, rather than putting him on a guy, wasting him on Kemba Walker, because he's not the player he once was. That's already a bad contract that Kemba Walker was. And this isn't me second-guessing them signing Kemba a couple of years ago. I said it the day they signed Kemba Walker. I was on the air doing a free agency special. The guy I wanted was Brogdon. He fit the timeline of the team better at the time. He was 25. He's somebody that doesn't demand the basketball. He can shoot the three. He just made way more sense on this team. And also this, he doesn't get exposed defensively in the postseason like Kemba Walker does, because he's diminutive in stature. He tries on defense. I'm not telling you he doesn't try. It's just he's not big enough to give you anything in terms of quality defense. We saw what the Celtics had to do last year. They had to scram him out of matchups all the time. Like, part of their defensive strategy is, hey, how do we make sure Kemba doesn't get exposed? It's not a fun thing to go into each and every game with, especially when you're not getting the output on the other side of the floor. Like, Steph Curry, not the greatest defender in the world. We'll all acknowledge that, but he's much bigger than Kemba Walker. But with Steph Curry, you're getting that quality on the offensive side. You did not get that quality on the offensive side with Kemba Walker. I just look at this team right now, and you're hoping that Jason Tatum has another step left in him, which I certainly think he does. The strides he made last year were incredible. Jaylen Brown, incredible improvement for him a season ago as well. Those are the two guys you're riding going forward now. But Kemba Walker, now you're stuck with a horrible contract. And also this, how about this from Danny Ainge's perspective? you were shopping around Kemba Walker. Remember that? That was out there, that they were apparently shopping Kemba around to get draft picks so they could go get Drew Holiday. How do you think Kemba feels right now? I mean, we had these conversations about all these guys that signed here. They left Kyrie, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward. And I get they're all for different reasons. But Kemba Walker just signed here last year. And now you were shopping him in a deal? And look, if it was me, I'd love to shop him too, because I don't think the player is that great. I'm not like most of you. I don't really like Kemba Walker as a player. I think the guy was completely overrated from the day you signed him. I said it the day you signed him. Okay, so when I look at it, I believe the guy's just overrated to begin with, and he's going to be worse next year because of these knee issues. But nonetheless, I can also acknowledge the fact it's not a good look that you just sign a guy to a max contract and you're looking to trade him. That's not a good look, especially when you don't actually trade him and now he's still on the team. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to David. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, Brian? Great show.
Thanks, man.
So if you want to compare Belichick to Ainge, the difference is in 20 years, Belichick's won 6 Super Bowls and he's been to 9 Super Bowls, whereas Ainge is still living off 2000-2008 and one other NBA Finals appearance. You know, 17 years, you've won one title. At what point does the pass that Boston seems to give him, is that going to expire?
So you want Ainge out of town, essentially.
At what point do you say, okay, this team has to get better? Are we better than we were when the season ended in the bubble? No. It's not 2013 anymore, and you know the trades that he's making with Brooklyn, those aren't happening anymore. So what is he doing? What's the long-term plan? Oh, let's get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and yeah, the experience will be better for these young guys. He doesn't realize all these other teams are getting better while we're not.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here?
Yeah, I can understand the aggravation. So you would be okay tomorrow if the Celtics got rid of Ainge, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and you know what? If they got rid of Stevens, I wouldn't be crying either, to be honest with you. I don't think the players respect him whatsoever.
Yeah, David, I believe that Stevens is a bigger issue than Ainge.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that, and I appreciate the call, man, good stuff. The reason I say that is because Stevens' offense doesn't work, okay? And Stevens is supposed to be this great culture builder. And the way that he orchestrates things, he actually indirectly is hurting the culture because all these guys think they're on the same page. All these guys think they should be taking X amount of shots, right? That's why you have 5 guys taking more than 10 shots per game in the postseason. So when I look at Brad Stevens, I believe he's the bigger issue in terms of the on-the-court product. With Danny Ainge, I'm not ready to fire the guy. He's still pretty good at a lot of the things that are important for a general manager. Like, he does do a good job in the draft, and we can criticize some of his picks, but let's also not dismiss the fact that he did draft Jason Tatum and he did draft Jaylen Brown. Those are pretty damn good picks, and let me remind you of this. So if everybody's going to say, well, those are 2 draft picks, Brian. Well, what about the rest of the picks? Okay, let me just give you the scenario here. Jaylen Brown was picked 3rd overall out of Cal. Most of the Celtics fans, you know who you are out there. Most of the green teamers. Oh, Chris Dunn, he's out of Providence. Let's get Chris Dunn. Okay, the dude was like 23, and he couldn't shoot. Yet a lot of the Celtics fans, after the draft, wanted Chris Dunn. Danny Ainge said, no, that player makes no sense for us. Let's go get Jaylen Brown. Premier athlete coming out of the collegiate level. Remember, Jaylen Brown did not dribble the basketball well at the collegiate level. He did not shoot the ball well at the collegiate level. They developed him into a really good player. Danny Ainge, that was a great pick. Jason Tatum, remember what happened there? Everybody thought Markelle Fultz was the #1 player in the draft, okay? And Danny Ainge didn't. I remember Markelle Fultz would eventually develop the yips in Philly, and now he's on Orlando. Danny Ainge identified Tatum as the best player. He picked up an additional asset to draft Jason Tatum. So Danny Ainge does have a good eye for talent. Where Danny Ainge misses is these trades where now he's in a position where he's made so many great trades over the years, he feels like he needs to rip everybody off. And that's what I think happened here with this whole situation with Indiana is it wasn't a clear win for Danny Ainge, so he was slow to pull the trigger, and now he lost the opportunity to upgrade the roster. That's the issue I have with Danny Ainge. He does a lot of things well. He does a lot of things well. You go back to the Isaiah Thomas trade. That was a ripoff when you got him from Phoenix, right? But the problem is sometimes you don't have to dominate the trade. You can just get somebody that adds to the culture and adds to the ethos and makes the team better by the way the style he plays, right? You had too much redundancy on this roster right now. And that's the issue with Danny Ainge is sometimes he's shy to pull the trigger because he's not the clear definitive winner in the trade. You don't always have to be that. That's the issue I have with Ainge. But overall, I think he's a pretty damn good general manager. He's pretty good at the job. It's just things like this, they piss you off. They irritate you. With Brad Stevens, I have more of an issue with him. And we thought Brad Stevens, oh, he's going to be one of the great coaches in the NBA. Well, I'd say this, Nick Nurse is better than him. Nick Nurse, with an inferior team last year, took Danny Ainge to 7 games. We saw Eric Spoelstra coach circles around him in that series against the Miami Heat. How many times was Eric Spoelstra going to run a pick and roll for Bam and say, try to stop us, right? And let's not dismiss the fact that Brad Stevens couldn't figure out how to beat his own defense in the postseason either. So these coaches in the Eastern Conference, you got really good coaches when you're looking at Nurse, who's got a championship, when you're looking at Eric Spoelstra, who's got two and just made it back to one last year. You got good coaches in the East. Brad Stevens isn't this unbelievable coach that everybody thought he was going to be. Let's get to Daniel in Springfield. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, how's it going? Been listening to you all night, and I do agree with the Brad Stevens. Although they do have a good offense. I mean, weren't they number two scoring offense last year? So they were pretty good.
But Daniel, let me ask you this about Daniel, let me ask you this about the offense. So during the regular season, yeah, they have a good offense. They have a nice system that they run throughout the regular season. But when the game slows down and when teams are game planning for you leading up to the series and they can identify your players and they're game planning for a specific team, how does the Celtics offense look then?
No, I understand that. Trust me, I totally agree. But what we've also been missing for a few years now is the absolute 3-and-D guy. There's not one person on that team that is a 3-and-D. I love Smart, but he's not the 3. He's the D.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Daniel, the problem is he thinks he's the 3, right?
I understand. Right. And that's where Stevens, like you said, has to rein him in. Say, yo, you made 2 in a row. That doesn't mean you can start throwing up 7 more.
Right.
All right? But Ainge does not get a pass anymore.
So you want him out?
I'm full of anything. His drafts, all right? Last year, he had a chance to where he could bundle some picks and move up in the draft. How many people really think that Grant Williams is a good player?
Yeah, I don't.
I think he's serviceable, you know? Carson Edwards, haven't seen him. Even when he's out there, he's up and down. Very inconsistent.
Yeah, Daniel, right? That's a fair point. And look, Daniel, if you really felt, and I appreciate the phone call, it's 617-779-7937. We heard everything after the draft 2 years ago that they love Tyler Hero, right? Everything leading up to the draft. If you really like Tyler Hero, make sure you trade up and you get your guy. You got a million picks going forward if you're the Celtics. Why wouldn't you throw one away to be able to move up and get the guy that you're identifying as the guy you want on the team? We saw what Hero did for the Heat in the postseason. So if you really were infatuated with Tyler Hero and he really was your guy, you got to make sure you move up and get the player that you're identifying, so to speak. You got to be able to do that. Like all these picks at the back end of the first round, they don't do anything for you. They're not quality picks. And Danny Ainge has not been great in the back end of the first round. I'm not telling you he's the greatest drafter in the world. I'm just telling you he's pretty good at the big things, except what just happened this week. Overall, he's been pretty good in his tenure here. He's been pretty good as a general manager of the Celtics. But I have more of an irritation about the fact that this week there was a deal on the table for something that you desperately needed. Danny Ainge himself admitted that, essentially, and he said it more nicely than I'm about to say it, but he said, our centers are not good enough to play Bam in the postseason, and Bam was the best player on the floor. You said that, and you had a chance to upgrade that specific position, and you didn't do it because you wanted to embarrass the Pacers in a trade. That's what irritates me. That's what pisses me off about Danny Ainge. You've got to get a deal like that done, and you've got to realize what your deficiencies are. You have to acknowledge that. And the other thing I'd mention in terms of what this team does need, as he pointed out, is shooting. Okay, so I like the fact that he went after Nesmith in the draft. But the fact that Danny Ainge even wanted Oladipo or Warren, that's scary to me. That's really scary to me because that's Danny Ainge not realizing what the issues are with his team right now. The issues are you have too many guys that need the basketball. That's the issue with the Celtics right now. Too many guys need the basketball in their hands. That's an issue for this team. And Danny Ainge wanted to bring in more guys that need the basketball. TJ Warren's a chucker. Victor Oladipo's looking for a new contract. He wants his shots. So that's not what you need on this team. To the point he made, what you need is shooting. That's why the Nesmith pick made total sense. That's why I was on board with bringing in McDermott. because McDermott makes sense on this team. He gives you 15 minutes a night. He takes a couple of threes. He shoots north of 40%. That makes sense on this team. That makes sense. Warren, Oladipo, they don't make sense on the team. So that's the alarming thing that worries me about Danny Ainge, is he doesn't realize what the deficiencies of this team are. Let's get to Phil in New Bedford. What's up, Phil?
Check this out.
What up?
Did you ever play any organized sport at all?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I played basketball, Phil, actually. Did you play basketball?
I played basketball, football, and hockey.
Nice. How did you play basketball and hockey,
when I call sometimes, when I'm joking around, that's one thing. When I'm talking facts, it's because what I've lived through, okay? And I wasn't the greatest athlete in the world. I made an all-star team in hockey. Basketball, I was always a decent sixth player. But
coach's kid, gym rat.
You build to compete and take your division before you go anywhere. Now, Philadelphia just got Doc 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And who went to Philadelphia last night? Howard.
Yeah, correct? Dwight Howard, yeah.
Now, Doc, in his 15 years of total more serious coaching, right, he's gone against him 9 times, 9 years. He said, you know, son, we're going to bring in veteran leadership. We're going to bring in a guy who's not going to bitch and complain if I give him 18, 20 minutes.
Phil, stop. Did you just call Dwight Howard a veteran leader?
Off the bench. He's not a bench.
Phil, Dwight Howard is crazy. This guy has a candy addiction. At one point, they found stashes of candy in his house. You think that guy's a leader? You remember the press conference he had with Stan Van Gundy all those years ago? Everybody that plays with Dwight Howard doesn't like him. They all don't like him as a teammate. What are you talking about, leadership? They brought him in so he could spell and be during games. That's why they brought him in. They didn't bring him in for his leadership. What the hell are you talking about? Nobody has ever said Dwight Howard and leadership in the same sentence until you uttered those words tonight.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what happens with Philadelphia this year.
Okay, Phil, they're going to be a good team.
Let's see him talking on the floor and moving guys on.
Phil, they're going to be a good team. They're not a good team because of Dwight Howard.
Did you see him this past year with L.A. rooting guys on the floor?
Oh,
I've seen him do that before in his whole career.
Phil, that's a great point. You know why the Lakers won a championship? It wasn't Anthony Davis and LeBron. It was Dwight on the sideline. He's the one that motivated them. I give you it's a great point.
But on the floor, too, he was finally motivating guys while he was on the floor. I've never seen him do that in his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, he was fine, Phil. I mean, he was – him and JaVale McGee split the center time up. And by the way, you know there was a playoff series that they played against the Houston Rockets where Dwight literally didn't play.
Yep.
Difference maker. Hey, appreciate the call, Phil. I don't know what direction that was going. I know he played hockey and basketball, which I'm not buying that. How can you play hockey and basketball? If you're a high school athlete, you can't play both during the same season. I don't know what the hell Phil's talking about. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 7. My buddy Sean Salisbury will join us at 6. We'll preview the Patriots-Texans game and the mess that's going on there in Houston with Jack Easterby. It's a weird situation. Is there any chance the Patriots lose that game? Plus, we'll continue to hit on the Celtics. How much blame should we throw at Danny Ainge? What did you make of the Gordon Hayward era? Where are the Celtics right now in the Eastern Conference hierarchy? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile and WEEI, who want to help move small business forward. Enter your business for a chance to win a free advertising campaign. Go to WEEI.com/T-Mobile. Gordon Hayward is a Charlotte Hornet. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting he's signing a 4-year, $120 million deal in Charlotte. Hayward averaged 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists a game last season. The Athletic reports the Celtics are showing strong interest in Nuggets big man Paul Millsap. Woj also reporting that Fred VanVleet will stay with the Raptors on a 4-year, $85 million deal. The Athletic Sham Sharania reports Avery Bradley is going to the Heat on a 2-year, $11.6 million deal. NFL Sunday gets underway tomorrow morning at 9 with Wiggy Fourier and Rich Keefe. And the Pats, of course, visit the Texans tomorrow afternoon. Stephon Gilmore hinted on Friday that he could return after missing the last 3 games. And Gilmore posted a picture on his Instagram account with his road bag packed. Gilmore is officially listed as questionable with that knee issue. Meanwhile, running back Sony Michel has been activated off IR. Michel has not played since the Week 4 win over the Raiders due to a quad injury. The Houston Chronicle reporting Texans left tackle Laremy Tunsil is out with an illness. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
Waits for Hero to clear, shoots the three and knocks it home. Welcome back, Gordon Hayward.
You're not kidding. Welcome back, Gordon Hayward. It's a different team.
All right, that was the call on ESPN Radio when Gordon Hayward came back to the Orlando bubble. One thing I will give Gordon Hayward credit for is the fact that he came back to the bubble after dealing with the ankle injury. And I give him credit. He sacrificed. He didn't go back for the birth of his child. And I'm not saying he wouldn't have, or he would have received blame if he went to see the birth of his fourth child. I personally wouldn't have criticized him for it. I'm just giving him credit for the fact that he realized, okay, I was injured for a good portion of the playoffs, and I want to be here with my guys. I give him credit for that. Unfortunately, you didn't get the production you wanted from Gordon Hayward, but that highlight courtesy of ESPN Radio when he did make his return against the Miami Heat didn't make much of a difference, but nonetheless, I do give him credit for not leaving the bubble for the birth of his child. By the way, little update on the Celtics, or possible Celtics. Shams Charania has that free agent Paul Millsap has agreed to a one-year, $10 million-plus deal to return to the Denver Nuggets. So that was a guy the Celtics were apparently in on. You can't even land Paul Millsap, 36-year-old, who, with the Denver Nuggets, sucked last year in the postseason, was not good. He's only 6'7", and he's a big. It's not a loss for the Celtics, but the fact that the Celtics were in on him and they wanted him and they didn't get him, that's where it tells you where you're at as a franchise. The Denver Nuggets got a free agent over you. And I know they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year, and he loves Denver and all this crap. You couldn't get Paul Millsap. Unreal. Unreal. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Dave, who's in the South Shore. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Brian. I do agree with the, if this is all true, that that trade could have gone down and Indiana would have paid him. That's the big question I have is really $30 million a year for 4 years is a lot for Hayward at this point in his career. And I'm just hearing reports that Indiana was like $8 to $10 million short a year for 3 years. If that's the case, how is that Danny's fault?
Well, I haven't seen that they were that short on Gordon Hayward. Indiana was. I haven't seen that the money was that much different.
Believe me, Brian. I when I saw that news today that Charlotte grabbed him and that Jordan called him last night to sell right. the deal, I was also like, what the hell happened,
Dave? Let me just say something real quick here, like the order of operations of this thing. So let me run through it. So on Tuesday was supposed to be Gordon Hayward's original deadline, right? And
yeah,
they get Gordon Hayward to agree to move it back, right? So that means right then and there, we know the Celtics are working on something for Gordon Hayward. We get the reporting that Gordon Hayward is fully focused, according to Sham Sharani of The Athletic, of joining the Indiana Pacers, right? And then we get the reporting from Gary Washburn last night that the deal's on the table for Miles Turner and Doug McDermott, but the Celtics are asking for way too much. They want Oladipo or Warren in that deal instead of Doug McDermott, right? During this, as Danny Ainge is trying to negotiate the best deal, knowing the player wants to go to Indiana, by the way, what happens? Well, the Charlotte Hornets are trying to upgrade their roster, and they're a horrible franchise. But nonetheless, Michael Jordan's trying to upgrade the roster, and they see Montrezl Harrell, the sixth man of the year. That's who their main target was. They were trying to go after him. Montrezl Harrell then ends up taking less money to join the reigning defending champs, the Lakers, rather than staying with the Charlotte Hornets. So as Danny Ainge is trying to get way too much out of the Indiana Pacers, what happens? Well, now Charlotte has more money. So now Charlotte has more money to come to the table with. And maybe you're right. Maybe at the end of the day, it was money for Gordon Hayward. But the reason they had that additional money is they missed out on another player when Danny Ainge could have already had this deal done.
Well, I get that. But I'm just going to say one more thing about it. And that's really, Hayward, if he has any relationship with Ainge at all and has, you know, with the situation, make a call to Danny and say, hey, Charlotte's offering me this. I still want to go to Indiana.
Yep.
Get this deal done.
Yeah, you know? I'm with you, Dave.
If that happened, then Danny should be vilified.
Yeah.
Seriously, he should be if that happened.
Oh, yeah. Dave, and I think what happened, and I appreciate the phone call, I think Danny overrated where his leverage point was. Ainge felt like, all right, I know he wants to go there. He's not going to go to Charlotte. He's not going to go to Atlanta. He's not going to go to the Knicks. I know he wants to go to Indiana, so I'm going to try to get the most out of this. And he kind of overrated where he was in terms of the leverage he carried, the weight he carried at that particular point in time, and it cost him the player because then Charlotte is out there and they don't have Montrezl Harrell and they get all this money to play with. And they say, hey, well, let's go back to the guy we signed in 2014, but then the Jazz matched the offer sheet. That's where he was at. By the way, you realize that Gordon Hayward, this is via Sean Devaney on Twitter, who covers the NBA. Gordon Hayward is now the biggest free agent signing in the history of the Celtics and the Hornets. The Celtics contract was horrible. He did not live up to it whatsoever, and he's not going to live up to the Hornets one. Unbelievable. Let's get to Dan in Danvers. What's up, Dan?
Hey, without an improvement, on the boards and a big inside, to post up and to just bang the boards and make space, the Celtics are going to fly in the clouds. I mean, they're going to be more dependent on the perimeter.
Yep.
And it's been a glaring a gap in their team for the last few years. I'm a season ticket holder and more leverage, and he may have thought he had more than he blew it.
That's how it feels, doesn't it, Dan? Doesn't it feel like that's where we're at?
When Gordon Hayward's a family man, and he wanted to go back home, and
right.
His wife and everything, and you listen to all that, and I think there's a lot of credibility to that. He's you know, and Indiana wanted him, so if it was close, I would have traded for Miles Turner, one up, straight up.
You would have won the deal, Dan. You would have won the deal.
You know what I mean? So if Dan, and I agree with you that Brad Stevens, I got a kick out of your comment. He's the Bernie Sanders. I love that.
He is.
He's a milk toast. He's a milk toast. He leaves guys in too long. I was even watching Tatum. Tatum's a superstar, but when they were playing Miami, there was some minutes there where I'm like, he's reckless. Rest him. Pull him out of the game. Put him on the bench. But, Brad Stevens seems to be like, bullpen by committee type of coach.
Yeah, it's a good comparison, Dan.
Yeah, he's just not getting the job done. He's got to be more businesslike, and the guys that get the ball. And he's trying to balance all of these egos, and you can't make everybody happy. There has to absolutely be a pecking order based on roles on the team.
Well, Dan,
and I don't think he manages that.
Dan, even to your point, so if you go back to the 2008 Celtics that, of course, won the NBA championship when they traded for Garnett and they traded for Ray Allen. When Ray Allen, a multi-time All-Star, one of the best shooters in NBA history, came to the Celtics. His shot attempts went from 21 a game in Seattle, his final year there, to 13 a game his first year here with the Celtics. So one of the greatest players, one of the greatest shooters, I should say, in the history of the sport, had to take 7 less shots per game. Yet Danny Ainge can't convince Marcus Smart that he should be taking less shots than Jaylen Brown in an elimination game in the postseason. That's a problem.
You know, they need Smart. He's the heart of the team. I think he's the spirit of the team. I love Marcus Smart on defense. I mean, he has that, you know, X factor on energy. But you're absolutely right. You watch him throw up brick after brick, and it's like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. I mean, the coach got to reel him in on that.
Yep. Hey, appreciate the call, Dan, from the North Shore. Greatest part of the state, in my humble opinion. I'll say that. Greatest part of the state. Let's get to Bob in a car. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good.
That last call, he was spot on, 100% across the board. But I look at things in a different way. I mean, you know, Danny's great at amateur evaluations, collegiate, international. You know, he has an eye for talent, like you said earlier in the program. And Brad's a good coach, but, you know, maybe he's the right players. But the director of pro scouting, maybe he's not giving Danny enough information or – I mean, there has to be more than just, Danny has a fight, I'll say, obviously. But there has to be some more, like a lot of information and scouting reports and whatnot where Danny could, you know, base something on where he think it could hold out for a better guy. With the Hayward deal, you know, he's damaged goods. So, he should have just taken the first deal and not hold out for the other guy. You know, I'm just wanting, I don't want, take the blame off of anybody, but it seems like the pro scouting might not be there. Maybe there's not enough information available. I'll hang up and listen to your call, and I enjoy your show.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Bob. So, I don't know if it has to do with the pro scouting. I just feel like it comes back to the whole theme that Danny Ainge wants to win every trade. And look, maybe that's the player in him, right? You all remember when Danny Ainge, not all of you because some of you were younger, but when Danny Ainge played for the Celtics in the 80s, everybody on the opposing team hated him. They had those T-shirts. I hate Danny Ainge. Remember that? He's an ultra competitor, right? Guy competes. So maybe that's just part of it. When you're a player, you can't turn off that compete level, so to speak, right? When you're going into the negotiating table and you're trying to make a trade, you want to destroy the other team, just like you want to destroy your opponent on the basketball court. Maybe that's part of the issue with Danny Ainge, is he looks at it through the lens of a player, like, oh, I got to come out of this the definitive winner. When we pick up the paper tomorrow morning or we see everything on Twitter, we're declared the definitive winner of the trade. And because he wouldn't have been, in my opinion, he would have been. I would have given him total credit if he got Doug McDermott and Miles Turner. I told you last night when that was on the table, do that. I don't need Warren. I don't need Oladipo. I would have declared him the winner right then and there. And it would have been an amazing thing to get rid of a player that wasn't going to be here anymore in Gordon Hayward for a position of need, which is a center and a shot blocker in Miles Turner. I would have given him all the credit in the world for it, but maybe he looked at it as, I'm not clearly winning the trade. I'm not doing this. I feel like I have leverage, which he didn't. He overrated that leverage. I'm going to get more, and I'm going to get praised, and I'm going to destroy the guy that I'm negotiating with. Maybe that's what it was. And that's how you destroy relationships across the league, right? I mean, I would be hanging up the phone if this guy calls me based on the offer that he was asking from Indiana. If I'm another team now, I'm doing a trade with the Celtics. I'm like, you're not negotiating in good faith. Are you kidding me? It's a joke, Danny. Get the hell off the phone. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 7. A lot more to get into. My buddy Sean Salisbury, who hosts on 790 in Houston, he's going to join us at about 15 minutes from now. We'll preview the Patriots and the Texans with him. Coming up next, there is no way, no way I see the Patriots losing on Sunday. I'll tell you why next, right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
To it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
This is my first time really playing Deshaun, though.
You know, last year when the Panthers played him, I was hurt. But just for him, man, I just love the player, the person that he's grown to be. He's growing to be. Not, you know, his stock is still ascending. And just like Jacoby, you know, Deshaun was on the foundation team, and you know we knew then, you know, he was a star.
All right, that's Cam Newton on his opponent tomorrow, Deshaun Watson, who is quietly having a really good season for the Texans. The problem is the team sucks so bad that Deshaun Watson's not getting the credit that he deserves right now. They have 2 wins. They're both against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And before you say, well, if he's so great, Brian, why don't they have all these wins? Well, the team is horrible. They fired Bill O'Brien, and deservingly so. I mean, the guy's been a mess as an NFL executive, so to speak. But they also removed his best offensive weapon. We have seen what DeAndre Hopkins has meant to Kyler Murray. You think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden this year, the Arizona Cardinals are much better? They're 6-4. And they just so happen to have arguably the best receiver in the NFL in DeAndre Hopkins. And he used to be on the Texans. And the Texans last year won their division. Remember, beat the Patriots. Had a 20-point lead on the Chiefs in the postseason. That guy's kind of important. Not to mention the fact that Deshaun Watson has no offensive line whatsoever. And his one good member of the offensive line, Laremy Tunsil, is out tomorrow. So that's where you're at right now if you're Deshaun Watson. Good thing you got yourself paid, but you don't have a whole lot to work with right now. But when I look at this game tomorrow, the thing that sticks out to me, there's no way the Patriots can lose this game. They can't lose the game because Bill Belichick won't overthink this, right? He won't. You think about this, and I know you've seen the numbers, or at least you've heard the numbers here. The rushing defense for the Texans, they're dead last. They give up 167 yards per game, 10 yards worse than the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, if you look at the advanced metrics, if you like the advanced numbers, DVOA has the Texans' rush defense ranked the worst in the NFL. They are dead last in yards per carry at 5.2. Hey, what do the Patriots do well offensively? Oh, yeah, they run the football. Third in the NFL in rushing yards per game at 161. Damian Harris has been incredible, 78.5 yards per game, which is 5th in the league, and he's averaging 5.5 yards per carry. That's 6th in the NFL. So the Patriots run the ball really well. The Texans can't stop the run. Bill Belichick, we've seen this before, when teams cannot stop the run, he's just going to keep picking at that damn scab. He doesn't care. He'll keep running the same play. We saw this against the Colts, remember in the AFC title game, where they had previously beat him during the regular season, where the Colts couldn't defend the run whatsoever. Bill just kept running it. Same thing happened in that postseason game. 177 rushing yards on 40 carries. Remember, during the regular season, it was Jonas Gray, but during the postseason, it was LeGarrette Blount. So you look at it from a Patriots perspective in that game, they had the advantage in terms of time of possession by nearly 16 minutes. So when you look and you juxtapose these two teams, and I get it, the Colts were better because of their record, and they made it all the way to the AFC title game. That was an 11-5 Colts team. But I just look at the fact that that Colts team, the only way you lose that game, only way, is if Andrew Luck, who was great at that time, threw 40 touchdown passes that season. The only way you lose that game is if Andrew Luck lights you up, right? So Bill Belichick said, okay, well, they can't defend the run. Let's just keep running it. And we also keep Andrew Luck on the sideline, right? So that gives him less opportunities to do things offensively. And Andrew Luck was garbage in that game. Okay, he pressed and he threw two touchdowns.
How are you?
Doing well, my friend.
Okay, now I've read a few things about how people are not blaming Danny Ainge that much. I've got to take a different stance on that, and I'll explain. I'm a travel agent. I sell cruises, okay? I always have to provide offers. And if I start lowballing and all that, there has been times that I have guests who I lose reservations because somebody else is willing to provide something. Now, while McDermott might not have been the other two guards, he would have solved an issue as a sixth man, which wasn't he the sixth man of the year this past year?
No. Montrezl Harrell was.
Okay, but he could... Okay, but he still had 10 points off the bench and all that. And if Danny didn't like him, he could have easily traded him somewhere else that he might have liked him. And if he wanted any of the guards, throw in, you have a couple of 2021 second-round picks. Throw in something like that. But by trying to get the best deal, you're giving other teams the opportunity to swoon in, which is what probably happened with the Hornets.
Yeah.
Because While I have read that the Hornets was unexpected and all that, if Danny had pulled the trigger on the trade, that would not have even counted. It would have not even mattered that another team screamed.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with that, Steve. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, my friend, as always. Appreciate the call tonight. 617-779-7937, the number if you want to grab his line. That's where I'm at, is you overplayed your hand if you were Danny Ainge. Completely agree with what Steve's saying. Overplayed your hand, and because you overplayed your hand, Charlotte came into contention for Gordon Hayward. They had money that they didn't think they were going to have because they thought they were going to be able to land Montrezl Harrell. Unfortunately, they couldn't land Montrezl Harrell. And because of that, they had all this money, and they said, hey, Gordon, you want this? And the Indiana Pacers and the Celtics are going back and forth on a possible Gordon Hayward trade, and he says, nah, I'm going to Charlotte now. If you just got the deal done earlier, Gordon Hayward, remember, agreed to push the deadline back. So you're working on a trade with the Pacers for a couple of days, and Danny Ainge didn't feel like getting essentially Miles Turner and McDermott was good enough. It was good enough. It was more than good enough, and it's what you needed. And unfortunately, now the Celtics are sitting here with the bag, and they get nothing. 617-779-7937, the number. All right, Sean Salisbury, who does radio in Houston, 790 there out in Houston, will preview the Pats and the Texans coming up next. Does he give the Texans any shot in this game? What has he seen from Cam Newton this season? We'll get into all that next right here on WEI. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.